And yeah, so you comfortable presenting from back there, or do you want to present up here?
No, this is perfect. I
You
mean,
okay?
a room full of intellectual minds trying to listen to what a PM has to say and engineers to course correct me, because my view of the world is 1,000 foot above than actually what's happening, but I have a good insight 10 months into this project, so I'm happy to take over.
Okay, that's great. So let me introduce you. So the NDIA project is called the National Deep Inference Fabric, and it's an NSF funded project where we have funding for 4 years to create research infrastructure for cracking open large scale AI models and giving researchers economical access to be able to do research inside them. And so it's been about creating the technical libraries, the interfaces to do this, creating the backend infrastructure, the server, that the live servers and the accounts and everything to make it all work. And it's like a little mini product development effort. And so we recruited a product development expert, Sumit. What is your background, Sumit? You used to work at Google and TripAdvisor
And Akamai
as a
for
PM's project manager at Akamai. And so he's been sort of managing our little pirate ship of a pirate band of academic style researchers here to try to build up, really a small scale professional engineering effort to build NDIF. So the NSF requires us to give them a report every year. It's actually kind of a grilling where they come and tell us everything that we're doing wrong. And they have all these outside auditors and so on. And so that review process will happen sometime this summer. And so we're beginning the process of practicing, reviewing what it is that we've done and presenting it and so on. So this is our first go around. So Sumit, go ahead and take it away. What have we been doing in the last year?
Yep, this is where we go and talk about our bravado stories, things. But more importantly, I feel like there are a couple of things I would love to take away from this, and I'd love to make this interactive, especially for users that are hearing about NDIF. And the first time, the best thing that can happen while you're building an MVP is get feedback from real users. We have a lot of theories, but this is a good way, a good podium, a good segue to validate some of the things we've built and some things that we are planning to build for future. And like David said, I mean, we are in this business of crack opening the models. David's put in substantial effort. It took us 18 months to get money from NSF, and now that we've hit the ground running, we've bootstrapped this and we are 10 months into this. And I'll talk through about some of the key things we've done, but more importantly, we wouldn't be able to do this without the help of our team. And we are.
Is this yours? Are you in control, or
Yep,
is
this
Brian
is
in
me.
control? Oh, you've got it. Okay, good. Just wanna make sure.
We wouldn't have reached in it so far, so fast, and we have a long journey. But this team comprises of Adam to my right and Michael with the headphones. He's a Canadian friend, and Jaden, who is on his Euro trip. Emma is also on a vacation, and David Bao. It's very targeted and focused effort. I mean, what honestly, my role is all about making sure I see myself as the orchestrator in this team. We have a lot of internal stakeholders, but more importantly, the external stakeholders that, in the what I've learned in the academic world, we have a lot of co-PIs. David's not the one-man army. There are a few other professors that assist us in what we want to be doing, how we want to be doing. The team gets into a deadlock. It's an intellectual conversation. We have NSF, we have the ESEP, that's the board that advises us. And my role is how to be efficient, how to be productive. Are we doing the right things? Challenge some assumptions, make sure we have the right GPUs, work with Delta AI. They are the partners. We don't get our own GPUs. We are funded by the GPUs that you guys run experiments on. And these are the things that have really been my focus area in the last 1 year since I've started going about these things. Yes. So what business is NDIF? Right. I mean, this is the billboard that every time I introduce myself, my wife takes me to any house party. I'm like, we're building a world-class inference engine for researchers, and that's you guys. We're not world-class yet, but that's our goal, and we want to be world-class. And how do we get to world-class is We want to increase the existing usage of the user base that we have. We want to be getting more users. So hopefully after this presentation, you guys can go and bring another friend, and that brings another friend. We want to do what the social media world has said, and we want to be getting Nobel Prize for the research that you guys are doing, right? So such an easy business we are in, but no expectations, right? I just want to make sure you guys are just aware of what NDIF does, and none of those things can hover around your research areas. So yeah, I mean, if we can get some feedback around what we've been able to do so far and what we plan to do. So in 10 months, how much can you do with a small team? But you know, when the team is working, what, 80 hours, not sleeping, and just writing good code, but is it worthy enough? We've been able to do quite a few things that I'm really proud of. And again, the team should also be really proud, which is the board is functional. This board tells us what we're doing, not only just for AI, ML, and interpretability, but also the goal is to expand a footprint of NDIF into interdisciplinary research. So I heard someone was doing stuff between psychology and AI, and that's the idea. We've been trying to go more cross-functional as we get into year two. We have a website that's functional. That's a shop where we try to target audience, whether can they search us, how many people are coming. We have a published preprint. Jaden, you guys must know this engineer.
It's no longer a preprint. It's ICLR 2025 accepted.
Wow.
Yeah.
Major AI conference.
We're accepted.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, it's okay. We'll put the text in for you later. It's ICLR.
All right. I'll do this later in a bit. So it's accepted. That's great news. David was talking about the library. We have the NNSide API library that Jaden orchestrated and bootstrapped from ground up. It's gone through three releases, but a lot of bug fixes. So we have iterative releases. Is it four releases now? NNSide 0.4? Yes. Sorry. It's 0.4. That's why. You know, I'll go for such things, and without engineers, I go and oversell the product and only to come back that we have a lot of work. I'm glad Michael corrected me. We weren't as stable as we used to be. There were early days, we were down a lot. We had this benchmark to at least at a minimum, we wanted to be up 3 days on an average in a given week. And the team's done a lot of good work. Michael leads the SRE aspect of it, and we've superseded that aspect. So hopefully it's down a lot less than it used to be. We've expanded our user base to 30 plus researchers. It's been slow and steady. And the other challenge that we had this year was hosting 405B, which is requires 2 TB of RAM. So we had 4 nodes on Delta AI, and hosting that was another challenge that the team overcame. And just in general, NDIF started prototyping on Northeastern machines, Koni in Nagoya, and now we are in Delta AI. These are our partners who provide us with GPUs. So these have been some key marquee items that we thought we wanted to get there, and we've achieved that in year one. And again, it's still a month and a half to go. Any questions?
Yeah, how many users are there in the open source world? I saw you have like the pilot program listed there, but I feel like looking on the Discord, there's so many more users.
I feel most of those users. So specifically, we've just started data analytics. The number of users that started using NDIF, and we measure in terms of the GPU usage. So the people who are using the backend infra, we have 32 unique API keys, but that translates to, so BioLab user could have many more users beneath that. So we have about 80 or 90 IPs, unique IPs, right, Michael?
I don't remember.
Something like that, in that order of magnitude. But I think the Discord is also flooded by a lot of NNSide users. Therefore, that's a superset.
You can probably also track the number of PIP downloads.
Yes, yes. The PIP downloads, and there's a slide which says about the GitHub stars.
Historically, it looks like we had 160 keys, but that includes a lot of the old generated ones and lots of duplicates and stuff. So.
Yeah. So we've started from ground up, and Michael did all of this cleaning the house, which is the most toughest thing. So we can track and target audience and get some answers. So from the outreach aspect and community engagement, we've got Emma. She's done all the heavy lifting, believe it or not. She is a PhD in biomedical, and now she talks. Every time she talks, she's like, yeah, expert. And I'm like so amazed at how she's onboarded and now she spreads the word. She's been able to help us put the word out there. More specifically, what we've done is few tutorials, and we have 14 research articles which have leveraged NDIF, and two of them were accepted. And we've contributed to 8 major conferences, and the preprint is not a preprint, like we heard, it's already accepted. But it's the brand and the community, and I feel like we're still in the nascent stage. We've had partnerships with outside of the research labs. It's in the industry, Goodfire.ai. We work very closely with them. Adam also works, and the engineering team also has a few sessions with these people on how to tweak existing library and have some features that help them. So there is some traction from the industry also. It's not just research labs. We've had workshops. We've had feedback sessions from these pilot users. We've had the thorough program on who's interested, and then based on the experiments they want to run, we've given them slots. We've had a lot of sessions with the HPC cluster. That's Delta AI, based in our Urbana-Champaign, Chicago area, on how we want to be using their Slurm. Slurm is just an equivalent to Kubernetes, if you guys are aware of that. And we've had this workshop last year. But our social media presence is growing. We track that on a regular basis. And if you guys haven't done that yet, please, there'll be a link in later in the slide. Go follow us on each of these social media channels. So what's the artifacts we've created? I mean, 517 GitHub stars. I feel that's a good takeaway for the library that's being used. Discord, like you guys are aware, we're trying to move to Discourse, which is an easy way to help us find all the wiki stuff and questions that have been answered, like Reddit style. We have a bug flow process where a user wants to tell us what's wrong, and they can submit their pull request, and our team will test and fix them together. We will continue to optimize our website. We need more analytics so that we are targeting researchers and converting more. We also want to be doing some churn analysis on why a user abandoned us, if at all. And we continue to have a lot of updates on the documentation and bug fixes that happens iteratively after all these features that NNSAT has already published. In all the work that we do is open source, so there is no stealth mode about it. You guys can go and play with it and bring your own GPU and try it out.
Do you think that doing all of our work in open source is like causing you guys to write higher quality code because it's all out there in public?
I mean, personally speaking, a lot of my code is not publicly based.
Oh, it's not?
All my deployment repository.
Oh,
So,
what?
you saw in the private repo.
What? It's not public?
So.
Oh.
I mean,
Is that
plan
out?
eventually to make it
Do you
public,
think
right?
do you think it should be public?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It is a bit specialized though for our use case,
No,
but
but we don't have like secret keys in there or anything like that. It could be public.
No, I've been careful of that.
Oh,
It
okay.
could be.
Okay. Yeah, so we could just flip it to public.
Good, yeah. Maybe it improved. Careful. I would
serve you. Okay, sorry to interrupt.
No, this is good. We'll make it public soon. So what, believe it or not, the biggest it's we talk about like the airline industry, and people forget. We talk about pricing, we talk about features. The biggest thing is the plane itself, and I believe the small engineering team is the real core of what we've been able to do. And now, believe it or not, we have an on-call SRE. If you guys are in trouble, we don't have an 1-800 number. It's Discord. And we will go and fix it, and we will reboot the whole system so you guys can run experiments. It used to take longer, and now it takes much shorter to go ahead and restart NDIF. But there have been multiple aspects, right, about this engineering that we've done. And it's never easy to call the shots when we don't have users. We've had this theory on what is actually going to get customers and researchers. And over time, we've been able to collect some feedback. Some is intuitive, some is about the experience the team gets itself from David and co-PIs and myself. And it's not been hunky-dory, to say the least. And the team's put in a lot of effort. So from a performance standpoint, yes, we are up 3 days, but we were down a lot. We are now investing in a lot of real-time monitoring, load balancing, and alerting. We didn't know who the users were, and now we know. We didn't know where the system, how it was behaving under different workloads at different times. We had a significant degradation once we migrated to the Delta AI infrastructure. We were 9 tokens per second, and that was not what we set out to do. At a minimum, we wanted the same performance when we were in the Northeastern machines in December.
Well, we were 9 tokens per second, the opposite.
We were 9 times slower than 1 token per second.
Yeah, we were 9 seconds to get 1 token.
Cool.
Yeah, when we moved to Delta AI, it was a disaster. It made the whole system unusable, right? But we didn't have funding to be, you know, to buy our own computers. We had to use the Delta AI computers. And so when they were like 10 times slower than we wanted to be, and you know, we had this major engineering crisis,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
That was sort of the focus of the team for a while.
And we had a lot of back and forth, but it was, what was it, Michael, Nicole? The optimization that gave us the biggest bang for the
buck. Use this different version of PyTorch and change a particular nuanced detail about how the job scheduled.
Yep, and all of that too.
And is that, so was that because Delta is on the Grace Hopper architecture that it requires this special stuff? So so Delta is this unusual, you know, backend. It's non-Intel based. NVIDIA only Grace Hopper things that are all ARM based. It has some weird shared memory architecture. It's like custom networking setup and everything. So if you use standard PyTorch, it forms really badly on it. Yeah.
Cool. And that was not the only thing, right? I mean, the system needs to be stable and performant. So we've had GPU memory management and caching strategies. I mean, there's a best way to optimize the memory within a machine, and then the machine-to-machine communication. We've tapped into some of those aspects. The observability tools now tell us how we have actually a user's job getting submitted to actually getting running experiments, caching in object store, and then getting the results back. And Emma is now starting to, believe it or not, the month of April is all about the user information and the email addresses and actually targeting to ask them a lot of loaded questions, which helps us refine our roadmap.
I don't think we've done any GPU memory management or caching strategies. I think what you're getting at is more the tricks we have to do to work with the Grace Hopper to deal with the unified memory issue.
Yeah. Unified memory issue. I'll change that slide. Cool. And then deployment and infrastructure, the mosting of Llama 4 or 5B, and Nikhil's a user, he can tell us about the user experience for 4 or 5B after these slides, I guess. He's been an avid supporter of NDIF and optimized support for a lot of smaller models. And, you know, there was a time we used to only think about optimizing 4 or 5B, but in general, our team has now been optimize NDIF in general, not just the very, very large models, but NDIF as a service should be optimized for faster performance and reliability. We chose Ray. That was the orchestration infrastructure, just how Redis and job queuing and things go back to the worker node and come back. Michael's worked all on the deployment side, the deployment repo expert. And he can tell you about how we are going about the automated deployment. Once NDIF is done, we right now need an on-call SRE, but now it's going to be some scripts that's going to automatically bootstrap and get NDIF up. We're addressing the job scheduling inefficiencies in Delta, getting towards 1 month deployment. And now we also have the ability, thanks to Michael, a non-prod environment so that we don't have to take the prod environment now. And the other aspects, that engineering's been able to produce is the end insight. The API has just grown from strength to strength. We've just had key features that we've solicited feedback from, and the versions have incrementally helped, hopefully, the research community. And there is an iterative process of which bugs to fix, how people file those bugs, and do we want to pair program with them, or do we have to do the heavy lifting? It's been a lot of effort also gone in teaching what those features can help with, and how to best run those features on the client side and how it actually goes through our system and then measure the performance. The other aspect that we really want to be focusing on until the summer and our next user base grows is the user experience piece. Like Michael was saying, we had a lot of API keys and it was all scattered over. We want to be giving an API key and then be able to have this accounting system ensure bad actors don't have access. And then we also know who these people are and the faces slash the email addresses behind which these people are. So we can answer a lot of their questions. The 30 plus researchers has been a good target, but we were happy to beat that target. And we still have a few more things to do in order to increase the user base. We've had to create a lot of structured onboarding materials and documentation to guide these users because it's not easy since we are targeting a lot of technical users. And Emma has been instrumental in helping us with that. The activation steering guide, tutorial library, all the stuff you see on the NNSide website, and just the whole brand and community and hosting these open hours, the office hours, and then working offline and piecemealing some of these questions to make sure that the user assists the other users. Then you can see all of the traction we received both on Discord and GitHub has been super helpful. Of course, the challenges, nothing was possible from day one. We've had allocation delays, so we figured out a process on how to make sure that we don't run out of GPU, so there's no denial of service. We've taken a lot of effort to learn and understand Slurm and this manual reservation process and job timeout issues. We meet the team every bi-weekly to understand and tell them our issues, because the Delta AI cluster that we host our infrastructure on, they are not well suited for the web service kind of that we have, right? And then the slowness of the system we spoke about, it's been some effort to get there in the last couple of months to make sure that we at least have one token per second. The model starting, right? It used to take about 2 hours. Now it takes about 20 minutes to 50 minutes, depending upon the model when we restart NDIF. So 405B, because it takes 2 TB of RAM, it takes about 50 minutes. The network congestion and the GPU bottleneck, that's something we consistently try to make sure we are solving for as we scale the usage and the number of users and the more jobs that get submitted. So the intra-machine and the inter-machine and the front-end to back-end communication with different protocols. Right, so this is mostly talks about what was the past, but definitely the plane needs to land somewhere and we are headed. So what are the top things or themes that comes out of our discussion board, right? We are actively working to have low-code tools to cater to researchers beyond the AIML community. We want to get to 100 plus users, which is 3x our user base. The platform needs more capabilities for more users and just the type of interactions and the experiments, both for large models and smaller models. We are strengthening our external partnership. Adam is also helping customize a lot of Google Colabs so we can spread the word and people just make one click and they can start running experiments. User experience still has a way to go in terms of how we can enhance it and engage them and make sure that they're not abandoning NDIF once they start using it. Ideally, we'd like NDIF to be used in a lot of classrooms and have a concurrent users. We also have to test the bench strength of all the stuff that engineering has written so far. Optimizing model load time, we have a lot of way to go in that aspect. And then better job scheduling. Users sometimes are blindsided once they run their jobs. They don't know how long they have to wait, when their number is going to come, and how long the experiment is going to take. So we're trying to build some capability if transparency in how we want to be telling the user rather than just hope as a plan. It has to be a takeaway, right? What have we done so far? NDIF is clearly growing, but we are evolving, let's say about that, right? As a key research tool. We are enabling broader AI experimentation and advancing scientific transparency And how do we get there? As the next step is we have a few roadmap items I'll show after this, which is all around world-class inference engine and engineering and catering to user and analytics. The outreach effort is now very going to be targeted, data-driven. We want to go broad and zero down on the existing users and what can get them to use more. Emma's taking a lot of AI transparency initiatives. In just the performance aspect, the reliability and observability has got us to the way we are, and the team's put a gigantic effort for all the technical improvements from where we were. If you guys are not aware, then please follow us, use some of these links, email us with any questions, how we can cater to some and all of your needs and make you an NDIF researcher for life. We'll be happy to talk to you guys and come up with special needs. And that's pretty much it. These are some of the minute items that is going to be implemented with the help of a few summer fellows and the existing team for what we want to be doing in some of the aspects over, say, mostly summer, and some will spill into fall. We want to be leveraging FSDP. That's a better way to utilize the existing machines to run these big models. We have some node failures with Delta AI where we host. So how do we make sure our system's available and fault tolerant? We want to be minimizing the downtime. So we go from 3-day uptime to four-day uptime. We don't want to be burning GPU. NSF is very, very stringent about don't waste taxpayer dollars. So if the models are not being used and the system is idle, we just don't want to be spinning up models when they're not going to be utilized at all. And generally, we've thought about a better way to just get storage and weight retrieval from the Hugging Face website to start reduce the startup time, right? So we can cache it. Adam Muir is building test harness, and he can tell us all about the specifics. But the key stuff is the system needs to tell us a lot more things proactively rather than a user telling us things are not working. And we want to be having alerting, and we want to be monitoring some of those aspects. We're also creating a single Docker image. This is for folks who want to run NDIF on their own GPUs, and we want to build a light version of NDIF, right? Just catering to the different use cases. Again, this is helping us go broad and get us the user base that we need and ideally want to validate a lot of these things that we build fast forward. In the experience side of things, we want to be hosting multi-models very soon, and therefore we've requested more GPUs. We want to be telling users how much their wait time is going to be in the queue. We want to be telling them what model schedule is automatically. So 405B and 405B instruct, we have to swap them on a regular basis just because they take a lot of nodes. We want to be serving these models on demand. So we want to have a mechanism to poll the users, and then a Docker container spins up to serve those specific models. Of course, we can't serve all the models, but we want to be efficient about validating which users, like the AlphaFold, for example. We also want to feature, we've heard from users that they want to be saving an edited model where they don't have to keep probing around where how they modified it and you know what the changes they want to be they've done in the past, they want to be reusing it. So we want to optimize the workflow, and we want to give them faster access to the results, reducing the computation time and cost it takes for them to wait. Yeah, this is pretty much the end of my slides. And this has been 10 months, 10 and a half months with a long journey. This is just a pit stop, and I feel like end of year. I'd love to hear from you guys on what it takes to convert you guys for an NDIF user.
Thanks, Amit. Yeah. All right, so pretend that you're the NSF. What do you want to know from Sumit that he hasn't explained to you?
What's an inference engine?
What's an inference engine? Inference engine, how we use any open source models, and then how do you run queries on it? So the same way we use ChatGPT, for example. We're running inference and by asking questions, and the model is getting smarter over time. And running inference is, my understanding is, that's how we run experiments. And the behemoth, which supports all of the backend stuff, the models that we host, people can run experiments. That's the way of running inference.
What would your answer be for what's an inference engine?
I think that's the wrong explanation for it, because it emphasizes more inference and efficiency and trying to get inputs and outputs out quickly. I may not have the perfect term for it, but I would emphasize more that it's accessing parts of the model that are previously inaccessible using services like ChatGPT. So more emphasizing the interpretability part of it, which will highlight more of the use case, which I think is kind of implicitly assumed. Like everyone here is kind of probably assuming just based off of the context of the lab and whatnot. But
so let's do this. So I agree. I mean, like we should, like with like that. I love your slide that says, you know, this is, we're building a world-class inference engine. And maybe, so we've made all these technical diagrams of like what the big idea of NDIF is, but they're all for a technical audience. And like, maybe what would be helpful is to make a diagram. Maybe you could help us with this. Like make a diagram for more of the NSF manager audience of like what it is, what is a world-class research inference engine, right? What does that mean? You know, what are the inputs and the outputs, and what does it give you that the standard inference engine doesn't give you, right? Like, can we make that like a really simple cartoon?
How specialized is the audience for this? Like the NSF managers, are they going to be focused on computer science stuff, or are they going to be?
It's hard to know. So, I'll tell you we have two, program officers in the NSF. One of them is a machine learning person, right? So an NLP, you know, researcher. And then the other person is a systems expert. So like an expert in computer networking.
Sure.
So one of them knows nothing about computer networking and stuff like that. And the other one pretty much knows nothing about machine learning. and so if that's an indication, like if we have reviewers, then we'll have reviewers that similarly have, you know, narrow specialties. They might understand some aspects of what we're doing and not other aspects, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, where'd Jimmy go?
Pausing the questions.
Yeah, we're pausing the questions.
Can I have a first question?
Where do you go?
What are all these?
Yeah. So there's green tea. There's also boba tea, which is the white one. Awesome. And then some sesame.
I would like the sesame one.
Sesame one?
Do you have the box for it?
I do have it, yeah. Do you want to see it? Let me grab it. I can't be for you. I'm sorry. I'm bought. Yeah.
It's a hard life.
I'm eating.
Let's drop them.
Nice. Yeah, please.